You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Hi, welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, March the 31st, set to be, well, a scorcher here in the UK today by March standards. Could break records for a March day. Now, if you're listening in Sydney or in Los Angeles, then temperatures of 24, 25 Celsius aren't going to get you excited, but allow us our little crumbs of comfort, particularly as next week the temperatures are set to plummet again here on these shores ahead of the Randox Health Grand National. And today I begin my build-up in earnest to that great race by talking to Evan Williams, trainer of Secret Reprieve. What else to look forward to through the next half an hour? Well, Jim J.A. McGrath will be along to give you his postcard from Hong Kong. We'll be rounding up all the day's news, and in a few moments' time, I'll be talking to Chris Hudson, who is the president of the British Racecourse Bookmakers Association, with the news, not entirely unsurprising news, that even when bookmakers come back to the racecourse, the starting price of horses returned will still be based primarily on off-course business. Rishi Passad is my guest today. Rishi, are bookmakers, are on-course bookmakers just getting a raw deal, do you think?
It's hard to tell for certain, Nick, but just looking at the situation as things stand, obviously the Starting Price Regulatory Commission have said that the overrounds in particular have decreased in each month that they have reviewed the situation, obviously, since racing went behind closed doors in June last year. The British Bookmakers Association have said that the overrounds have increased or stayed the same because they are based on prices that are relating to horses that have little chance of winning. But if you look at the prices of horses in the first two or three in the market, that they are being shortened. So just having a look at the Horse Race Bettors Forum and their analysis that they did in November of 2020, and they based it on handicaps and non-handicaps. And that suggests that punters backing horses at the head of the market, so the horses that are most likely to attract money and most likely to be involved in, say, multiple bets, for example, that they are in handicaps, they're 2.8%, and in non-handicaps, 1.8% worse off, depending obviously on what race you're betting on. So there is a school of thought, certainly on that analysis, that says that there is an issue with horses right at the top end of the market, which obviously attract most of the money for any race. That suggests that the bookmakers are coming out, the off-course bookmakers are coming out with a better deal than the traditional SB bookmakers on course. And ultimately, it's also the new system saying that the on-course bookmakers, when they eventually do return to the racecourse, are going to contribute approximately 12.5% of what the SP is going to be. So I'm not sure if that figure should be higher or whether there's still a case for review. Certainly what the analysis of the Horse Race Bettors Forum suggests, that there is still an issue that needs to be dealt with. So perhaps the bookmakers, the British Bookmakers Association, do have a very good case for another review and more consultation. In fact, that's one of the issues they're saying, that, you know, there was meant to be consultation on this, and that hasn't actually happened to satisfy all parties concerned. So I think that's something that needs to be looked at. But ultimately, it's a system that we're trying to try and find that is going to be fair to the punter. And at the moment, it perhaps not quite doing that job. One aside from it, and you and I have spoken about this on a couple of occasions, it does seem at the moment that on-course bookmakers have had a very, very rough year. And this particular decision that was announced in the last 24 hours has been another potential blow to them.
Well, Chris Hudson is the president of the British Racecourse Bookmakers Association. We've spoken before on the podcast about a number of issues that are affecting on-course bookmakers clearly over the last year. Chris, this can't have come as that much of a surprise, but what's your reaction?
Well, the surprise is that I didn't get a reply from the SPRC when we wrote to them on the 15th, 16th of February about this this new model that they're going to use. At the moment, the starting price is formulated from independent bookmakers on the racecourse who have no vested interest in what the official starting price is. And it's taken from a sample of bookmakers who will lay bets to substantial amounts of money at the correct each-way terms. Well, we've no objection to an off-course SP as long as it's stated that it's an off-course SP, it's an industry SP. What we did in our letter to the SPRC, we said that we raised our concerns about the certain incidents, of which I've mentioned two already, that affect the consumer. And we should be pointing out the fact that this is not indicative of the prices of the racecourse, because it's always the worst cases either way that are highlighted, and we don't want any adverse publicity that could affect the betting industry.
Now, Chris, am I right in thinking that your belief, according to your interview in the Racing Post today, is that you feel that we should read the fact that over rounds have decreased over the last year a little bit more carefully and not just take that as read?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, it's like sort of saying the price of something of a short life product has reduced because it's not fashionable, because people don't want to buy it. The well-fancied horses and the well-backed horses, as was proven by Blowing Dixie, and there was an incident at Ascot last year on a Frankie Dettori horse, whether these prices are reduced, and horses that statistically lesser chance of winning are returned at a higher price. So between reducing the price on one and increasing the price on another, it in effect reduces the theoretical over round. My own view is that starting price is starting price on the racecourse, and if you want to take an industry SP, you take an industry SP, because before COVID, various firms were only doing their own shows before the race, but still settling at the official SP. But they probably wouldn't putting up the board price as they went along.
So are you unhappier with the process rather than the end result, if you like, that you knew this might be coming because COVID has expedited it, but the fact that you haven't really been included in a consultation period? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to read between the lines.
What we're concerned about is the fact that this has happened. When we met last May, they said there was going to be a consultation. It's now happened. Clearly, it's to the advantage of the on-course bookmaker, because that will drive people to the races to have, because they know that they can get a good bet on. And although we're going to be included in the algorithm for the new formula at a much lower level, we're a little concerned, as I put in my letter to the SPRC, that we are going to be sort of tarred with this brush of like shorter prices on well-fancied horses, which we've seen on at least two instances.
But as you've hinted at there, can you turn this round and use it to your advantage to try and encourage people to come racing?
Well, we will do. We will do. In fact, I've already had discussions with at least one of the large racing groups about it, because this really is the greatest advert that we could ask for.
So what's not to like for everyone, in which case?
Well, it's good for it's very good for the racing industry, because of course they'll pay, they will receive better levy on hopes, and it's basically the consumer should be made, it's now going to be our job to make the consumer aware that they get a far better price betting with a bookmaker on the racecourse than they would be doing taking an industry SP.
And you need impetus, don't you, when your members come back to the racecourse? We've spoken about this plenty. This has been a very, very difficult year for everyone, but particularly for on-course bookies. You haven't really traded since March 2020, the vast majority of them. Do you have any indication as to what percentage of those are still in business?
Well, funnily enough, we've just sent our subscriptions out, and we actually haven't lost that many. We've lost a few, but the question of time will be is when they come back. because we've been told we're going to get increased operating costs from the Gambling Commission. Their costs are going up 15%. Administration of Gambling on Tracks are putting their fees up. So it will be very much a suck it and see, and to see what the effect of the price increase is going to be, and you know, which customers return to the racecourse. Hopefully this new hybrid SP will encourage people to come and have a bet at the racecourse.
Chris Hudson there, trying to turn some positives for the on-course bookmakers when they return to the racecourse out of what is clearly news that didn't go down terribly well in the first instance. Rishi is still with me. Let's talk about other news, Rishi, and increased regulation for syndicates, which surely can only be a good idea.
Yeah, I think really positive news for syndicates and racing clubs. The BHA have announced plans for strengthening regulations around syndicates and racing clubs. They have come up with a list of 10 measures to be implemented in stages over the next year or so. I think the most important aspects of that are the fact that the cost of horses, how prize money is divided, etc., what happens when a horse retires, and resolution procedures, they're all going to be far more apparent to anyone wanting to become involved in syndicates. And obviously those sort of things will be registered with the BHA, include, I think, syndicate members as well, and the percentage shares in horses will be recorded with the BHA. So the BHA, in fairness, will be able to have a database of syndicate membership, and also be clear on how the percentage of horses is divided. And I know that there's a lot of work that's been gone into this behind the scenes. The BHA have certainly received help from one or two syndicates as well, who have been keen to come up with plans of how potential syndicate members, current syndicate members and racing club members are able to satisfy their own questions that they may have in wanting to get involved with horses, and being confident in the industry that everything is fair, just and transparent. And it seems that the BHA have taken really important steps in satisfying those needs.
Now, Rishi, just before we move on, there was a story that appeared in the Racing Post this morning, which was in response to a Twitter video that it didn't go viral, but it at least made its way around enough people, which showed on an unspecified date, the Lincoln-winning young talented rider Benoit de La Sayette, the apprentice to John Gosden, looking into the camera before the phone flipped and there were two identified people cutting up what appeared to be lines of cocaine. The invitation was to draw an inference that that was how the jockey might have been celebrating his Lincoln win. Now, this has been denied. Apparently, the footage was taken at a party several years ago, and the rider doesn't and has never taken cocaine. That's kind of not really the point of talking about this story, though.
No, because what you've said doesn't actually say anything about Benoit de La Sayette taking cocaine or having a cocaine issue. It's just a video that's been posted that suggests that something's going on. But the wider issue in regard to this video, I think, is the world that we now live in. And it's very, very sad that someone can post something on social media without any real evidence, any hard evidence that definitely suggests one thing or another. And the person has to therefore defend themselves. You know, if I posted something on social media that said Nick Luck is a bad man, it seems that the way that things and now go today, it will be down to you to prove that you're not a bad man. And that's an awkward and sad world that we live in, where this is happening. Now, we don't know. I don't know. There is no evidence in the video that says that Benoit de La Sayette has done anything wrong. Something else might emerge. Who knows? But this is the problem, is that we've ended up in this speculation because of the actions of someone who has suggested that this video relates to Benoit de La Sayette doing something wrong. And that's an awkward situation. That is obviously an awkward situation that's led to the PGA, Benoit de La Sayette's parents, and obviously speaking on his behalf, saying, leading to a defence for him, when actually there's no evidence in the video of actual wrongdoing.
The only thing I would add is that what kind of warped minds do you have to want to try to adversely affect the burgeoning career of a young, talented rider by doing something like this? I just can't get my head around it.
Well, I hate to try and sound like I'm some sort of philosopher, but do you not feel that this is the world that we that we have now begun to become more and more aware of because of social media, that other people are so upset with other people doing well that their own prejudices come to the fore in their actions, of the things they say and the things they do, because they're so, really, it's someone who's unhappy with, or he or she are unhappy with themselves. So to, in order to make yourself feel better, you try and bring somebody else down and sort of revel in their misfortune. And social media is an outlet for that. And that's, unfortunately, what is happening more and more. And, you know, as, for example, as parents growing up, you're worried about children growing up, that they are going to have to face these challenges, which clearly there are people out there that are willing to upset other people in order to try and make themselves feel better through the misfortune of others. And that's a horrible world to want to live in.
Yeah, it's very depressing.
So what are we now? We are 10 days away from the Randox Health Grand National 2021, and we're all so happy to have the big race back after it missed out last year, because just at the beginning of the first COVID lockdown. The record books don't tell you if you've got a great record in the race unless you've won it. That won't be lost on Evan Williams, who joins me now. Evan, your record in this race is pretty amazing. Just for the uninitiated, just remind me how many times you've had horses get round and be placed in it.
Oh, too many, Nick. Oh, cripes. Well, we've had a second, a couple of thirds, and I think three fourths or something like that. So, yeah, it's a pretty poor record if you're looking for statistics to win, you know?
But there probably are very few trainers who've had as many horses. And bear in mind, you know, for we have an international listenership. You know, this is 40 runners, 30 fearsome fences, 4.5 miles, you know, to get a couple of horses round in your career is a pretty decent effort. To get like 6 or 7 placed in about 8 years is amazing. Anyway, as you would say, no point dwelling on past glories. You've got Secret Reprieve this year in the colours of the Ruckers. We've had many great Grand National horses. How's he getting on?
He's grand, yeah. I mean, look, I can't pretend that, you know, that was the plan, that we'd end up in the Grand National, because it wasn't. I mean, we only had the green light on Saturday that's what we would really do, you know. So look, he's in great old form, and we wouldn't even be thinking about the race if he wasn't in good form.
And when you say you only got the green light on Saturday, is that because there'd been a bit of soul searching, because he's still quite young and he's on the up?
Well, it was the reality was that, you know, we had looked at Cheltenham, and I thought Cheltenham was just wrong, and a couple more weeks would be a benefit to us. And it was only really that I hadn't sat down with Mr. and Mrs. Rucker until Saturday. You know what it's like. It's normally you see people at the races and discuss such things, but we couldn't get together until this Saturday just to thrash out, you know, whether we would have a real crack at it or not.
He's 50 at the moment, so he needs 10 defections to get a run. Normally speaking, you'd be pretty hopeful, wouldn't you?
Look, now, I'm always a believer in those big handicaps. Doesn't matter if it's the Grand National or whatever. You know, what will be as far. That's out of my control. So if they come out, that would be fantastic. And if they don't come out, well, it wasn't meant to be. We're pretty, you know, resigned to that's the fate. And you either get there or you don't, type of thing.
I mean, if this was a national of old, you'd maybe even be keener on him, because he does look like a fantastic stare, and touch wood, famous last words, just a very sensible jumper of a fence.
Well, look, he's a grand horse, and I suppose everything that we buy is a little bit old fashioned. If I have a weakness, which many people will say I have, it is buying horses that get slower as they get older. And, you know, you could definitely say he is old-fashioned. I would 100% agree with you. But that's probably just the type of horse that I buy as a youngster. And, that's probably the type of horse that I love dealing with.
And is he everything that he appears? Is he a straightforward horse?
Yeah, he's a gentleman. You know, he'd be a wonderful horse to go for a day's hunting, or if you wanted to go pony trekking, he could go and do that job. And if you wanted to wander through the middle of London and go to Hyde Park, he could do that job. He's just a wonderful temperament and a
as I said, an old-fashioned horse would probably be a very good description of him.
Now, the key question is, do we think that Adam Wedge is going to be fit to ride him? Adam's been off for a little while now with injury, but he's getting himself back. We're going to get a decision quite soon?
Well, the 1st of April, he sees the main man with the scan and everything, and I'd say that'll be, you know, that'll be D-Day to some extent, because obviously we want to get him back riding, obviously sort of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, really. So I would say tomorrow's a big day for him.
And just a word on William and Angela Rucker. They've been great supporters of yours for so long now. And remember all the way back to 2006 and State of Play winning the Hennessy and before then. And he, of course, ran in God knows how many Grand Nationals and did very well. Kappa Bleu's done the same. I know you didn't train him, but they've had Alvarado finish placed in a couple of Nationals as well. I mean, for them, this would be quite some weight too.
Look, you know, if I say that the horse is, you know, a real national hunt horse, I suppose, you know, the best description of Mr. and Mrs. Rucker is that they're real national hunt people. And I couldn't do it without them, Nick. You know, I mean, the whole place wouldn't really work without them, you know. They've been massive supporters. And more than that, people who are there when things are bad, you know. It's all very good when things are rosy, but you know, Mr. and Mrs. Rucker are there when things are bad, and I think that says an awful lot about them as people, not just as owners.
Well, you've had many good, if frustrating, days around Aintree. I'm hoping for you that this can be a great one. Evan, thanks so much for talking to me.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Nick. Thank you.
Well, I definitely think, Richie, that Secret Reprieve is one of the more interesting contenders for this year's race. I really hope he gets in. He needs 10 to come out. I think he should get in.
Yeah, I agree. Lucky, I really hope he gets in. He was one of the horses that I put up a couple of months ago as a potential winner of the race. But as you say, standing on 50, I hope he does get in. Cloth Cap clearly is a very exciting horse, because even though he's 4-1, you still believe, or roughly around 4-1, you still believe there's room for improvement with him where he is in the handicap. So I can understand why he's so short. And when you look beyond that, I think what's the old cliche, the juice has gone in the price of a few others who perhaps don't have as sexy a profile as Cloth Cap. And Secret Reprieve potentially still has a lot of room for improvement. You know, he's only 7 years old. He's two wins at Chepstow suggest there's plenty more in the tank that he can handle. He's probably got a little bit in hand in the handicap as things stand anyway. So I'd hope he gets in just to add a little bit more flavour to the race, because outside of Cloth Cap, I'm looking for something that has as much potential to improve. And I must admit, I'm not really seeing it. And I think Secret Reprieve perhaps has more than anything else.
Slightly closer to hand, we've got All Weather Finals Day this Friday. Good Friday, you'll be there.
Yes, I'll be there for ITV. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, I've never been to the Good Friday Finals, so I'm looking forward to seeing it firsthand. Quite interested in one or two runners at this stage, in particular in the Middle Distance Championship. Pallavicino for my pal Martin Dwyer and Brian Meehan. I think he's a really talented horse. I think he's got a lot of ability, and he's not got that much to find with Bangkok, who is the top-rated horse in the race. And when I say not that much, I know there's £7 between them on the official ratings, but he hasn't been beaten far by Bangkok at Lingfield over the trip. So I think if he's allowed to get to the front and not be harried too much, I think he's really dangerous. And I've got a feeling that Martin Dwyer might be able to execute front-running tactics on him this time. And I just want to mention one other horse, Lucky, and that's Apollo One, who I think is a top-notcher. He's only had 5 runs in his career. He won twice as a 2-year-old. I think I might have tipped him on the Nick Luck Daily podcast before, maybe at Sandown last year when he was third in the Solario. But he beat him. He beat McGowan last time over 7 furlongs at Lingfield earlier in the month. And I think the drop back to 6 furlongs is exactly what he wants. I think he'd be even better over 6. Peter Charalambos trains him. And this might be the best horse he's ever trained. I think Apollo One's really, really exciting. And I hope he wins the 3-year-old all-weather championship sprint.
And I can't let this segment go without asking you who you would back between Monkfish and Envoy Allen punches down over 3 miles.
I would back, without hesitation, Lucky Monkfish.
I think hang on, I haven't given you the prices yet. Evens Monkfish and 11-8 Envoy Allen.
I'd have a sizable chunk on Monkfish. I think he's the real deal. I think he's next season's Gold Cup winner.
Rishi, thanks for the moment. Now from Monkfish to the Croc, here he is in Hong Kong.
Nick, we start with some breaking news from Hong Kong. The career of classic legend, the high-profile winner of the Everest in Sydney, who now resides in Hong Kong, suffered a severe setback today when he was found to have bled after a brilliant gallop at Sha Tin this morning. And there are big ramifications. Classic legend is automatically banned from running for 3 months. It means he misses the clash with Wellington in Monday's Sprint Cup at Sha Tin. And now, Casper Founds, the trainer, is talking about sending classic legend back to Australia, where he thinks he'll be better suited. Casper says the horse has struggled with the environment in Hong Kong, finding it hard to acclimatise. It's been something of a saga with classic legend. He was rushed through a preparation to get ready for the Hong Kong International Races in December. His quarantine bordered on shambolic, and then on his Hong Kong debut, he was slow into stride and finished only 11th behind Dannon Smash in the Hong Kong sprint. Let's hope there's a happy ending to this story, because he was the world's joint top-rated sprinter last year, and he's an incredibly talented horse. Back to Australia might just be the best solution. Well, it's an unusual week all round in Hong Kong. We've got Sha Tin on the all-weather. It's an all-dirt card. 9 races for you this Wednesday. And it gives an opportunity to some of the high-rated horses in Hong Kong who are racing or are experts on dirt to actually strut their stuff. Now, I refer to the final race on this 9-race card. That's race 9. And here, number 10, Righteous Doctrine, is a horse who I think can win for Alexi Bedell, who's poised on 99 winners in Hong Kong, and this just might be his opportunity to bring up the ton. He's very well weighted, Righteous Doctrine, and he comes up against some real dirt specialists in Glorious Artist, Elusive State, and also King Shield, and also another rising star through the ranks as well, Hong Kong Great. So it's a real classic to end the night. But also earlier in the day, I like race 4, number 9, Fairy Floss, who's won for Zach Purton and Paul O'Sullivan, comes up against number 2, Mr. Monty. I suggest taking that in a toad swinger. So that's all the news from Hong Kong. It's good luck and good punting to you all.
Thank you to Jim. Thank you to all my guests earlier. Rishi's still with me and has a tip for you.
Well, Lucky, I've lost a lot of money. I've also won a little bit on Say If You Will of Amanda Peretz. I remember being at Goodwood when she first ran in June of last year and being taken by what a gorgeous looking filly she was. And she's got ability. She hasn't managed to win a race just yet. No surprise, because she's a horse that I've been following. But she makes a return to the track this year tonight at Kempton. Amanda Perrett Stable had a winner recently, so I'm hoping that Say If You Will can be another for the team. I think she'll have a good season. So Say If You Will.
Rishi, thank you very much. Thank you everybody for listening. I will see you again tomorrow. That was Wednesday, March the 31st. Bye bye.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.